Okay, welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution Newcomer and Returning Members Meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who at least 6 months of abstinence has recovered through the directions of the Big Book and maintained recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make comments or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome Vanessa G. from New Mexico, a compulsive overeater. You just gotta unmute yourself.
Gotcha. Can you hear me now? Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for allowing me to come tonight. I always find it a privilege and actually an honor to be able to share my story of recovery. It took a lot. For me to actually get to the point of finding recovery in Overeaters Anonymous. And it's my sincere hope that I can help other people find it sooner or even if not sooner. I really want to be able to spread the message that has finally relieved me from the bondage of compulsive eating. So I guess I'll start with saying that I came by my compulsive and behavior, my alcoholic behavior with food, I think genetically. I remember, I'm almost 67 years old. Early next year, I'll be 67. And I remember, when I was a kid going to visit relatives on my father's side of the family, who were extremely obese. In fact, I had an auntie who died when she was really probably still in her 50s. And she hadn't been out of her bedroom for probably about 10 years. Completely encased in a body that probably weighed 500 pounds or more. And I remember going to her funeral and being shocked and dismayed and just horrified at the fact that she had to be in this large casket. And it was summertime and the pallbearers were, struggling. And I never made the connection, however, that that maybe that was my fate, that maybe that was going to happen to me if it weren't for the 12 steps of, of Overeaters Anonymous and the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That same year, I had an uncle die of cirrhosis of the liver. And on my mother's side of the family, and he wasn't the only uncle that did die of the effects of alcoholism, I truly believe that, my body is just what the Big Book refers to as alcoholic. It doesn't matter. To me, I think if it's, liquid sugar or, the sugar that is in, cane sugar, I think that my body is just very, very sensitive. And I'm definitely a person who has a abnormal reaction to my alcoholic foods and ingredients in any form, including alcohol. When I grew up in my family, my mother was of abnormal weight and she fed us well and she fed us, pretty healthy. My father was a fireman and I think he probably had both diseases. I'm not going to diagnose him here, but he walked and quacked like me. And I'm assuming he was, to a certain extent, just like me with the same diseases. And as a fireman, he used to get a physical every couple of years. And every few months, every summer before he'd get this physical in the fall, he'd go on a big diet. and he'd lose the weight that would qualify him for the physical, and then he'd put the weight back on right afterwards. And I think I thought that that's how you dealt with food. We never really were encouraged not to eat in my family, or encourage, I did get a lot of ribbing from my father for my weight when I was a kid, for being a chubby child, but I didn't ever, really get any type of discouragement from having, more than my share of food. When I got to high school, I just decided that, I would do what my father did, and I started dieting to take care of the weight. And that's how I dealt with it. And by the time I graduated from high school, I think I probably was still overweight, but probably not technically, obese. But as soon as I got to college, instead of putting on the freshman 15, I probably put on the freshman 50 that first semester. And I kept on going. And by the time that I was 27 years old, I weighed over 300 pounds. And I had been successful in climbing the ladder, I guess, into a government position, a career position with the government. And I had bought a house and a car and all of that type of thing. And I thought that I was really, something, and that the only thing maybe that I hadn't taken care of or hadn't been able to conquer was my weight. And so that was always in the back of my mind. And I got this big promotion back to the big city of Albuquerque. And I hadn't been here but a week. And a friend of mine came up to me, my age, and asked me if I wanted to go to an OA meeting with her. She wanted to go to an OA meeting, and she asked if I could go with her. And I said, sure, because I didn't want to look like I didn't want to do anything about my weight. I didn't know what OA was exactly, but I thought I would go. And all I remember from that first meeting, at 27 years old, was that the woman who was sharing her story talked about her eating behavior, kind of a war story, I guess. And she talked about dropping a jar of syrup cherries on the floor. And it's shattering, and then she got down on the floor and ate the cherries and sipped up the syrup, the syrup from the floor. And I hadn't yet done anything like that. And again, very judgmental, very horrified, very, oh my God, who could possibly do something like that? And so as I listened to her story, that's the way I felt. And then we went around the room, and everybody talked about basically their feelings, I think. And I remember leaving and thinking, this isn't where I belong. These people have a problem, and I don't have this problem. I just haven't really dieted. And within a couple of months, I had signed up for one of those liquid protein fasts that were really popular in the late 80s, and started living on 500 calories of liquid protein a day. And I lost weight. Lost a lot of weight, pretty quickly. I think, within 9 months, I'm young, and I'm dieting. I probably lost 175 pounds, I think. And it was quick. And what happened during that period of time was I was a smoker. My smoking went up to 3 packs a day. I was a drinker. I started keeping a bottle of vodka in the freezer, and I was drinking nothing but 500 calories a day of liquid protein a day. And then I got, I started getting into trouble, because I was such a drunk. I mean, you don't have anything in your system, and whatever alcohol you put into your system, creates, sort of this instantaneous, well, for me, it was craziness, just instantaneous insanity. And anyway, I was starting to get into trouble. I started going, making the rounds of psychiatrists and doctors, and started getting pills for my depression, my inability to focus. You know, I had a couple of prescriptions, one for Dexedrine and the other one for, I think it was Prozac at that time. I don't remember which antidepressant it was. So I'm on pills. I'm on vodka, you know, a hard, you know, liquor diet. This 500 calories protein a day, and three packs of cigarettes. And I sometimes look back on that time, and the fact was also that I for the most part felt like people who drank by themselves were alcoholics, and I wasn't. So I would go out to the bars, and I'd get myself in all kinds of dangerous situations. And I drove drunk a lot, actually, too. And that went on for about 3 years until I was absolutely at the bottom, you know, the end of myself, and found myself in an AA meeting. I think that God was looking out after me because I found an excellent sponsor right away who took me through the steps as they were outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous quickly, thoroughly, but very quickly. Like over a weekend, and in I started writing my fourth step on a Friday night, and by Monday afternoon, I was making amends at my office, and continued to do that throughout the you know the next 6 months or so. When I was about 9 months sober, I decided I needed to go back to OA because I was finding this abnormal reaction happening again. And I had found this wonderful recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was thinking, I'm going to go back to OA, and I'm going to be able to take care of, you know, whatever this eating thing is. I went back to OA. What I heard at that first meeting was three meals a day, nothing in between. Nobody mentioned anything about alcoholic substances or alcoholic foods, or even red light or green light or whatever foods. You know, it was just this three meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time, this 301 plan. And so I just started doing that, not really paying a whole lot of attention to what I was putting into my body. And that worked for a while, you know, or it seemed to work anyway. And I, did that for a year and a half, 2 years, until one day I walked into an AA meeting, and it was a birthday meeting. It was at the end of the month, and I was out of town and under some stress, and they were celebrating anniversaries. And just like Jim in the big book with putting the milk in the, or putting the whiskey in the milk and thinking that it wouldn't hurt him, you know, I thought, oh, I can have birthday cake, and I hope I can, you know, mention food in this meeting, but oh, I can have, you know, some, you know, birthday cake for lunch. And so I did that. You know, I had a piece, probably with whatever else, you know, that they served with it or whatever. And immediately I felt myself go nutsy, absolutely insane. And it wasn't like I hadn't had that before in this, you know, so-called abstinence that I had. But for whatever reason, that day it just really hit me. And by that night, I cleaned up after a dinner party, and I was eating everybody's leftovers off of their food, you know, off of their plates. And then I scoured, you know, I was out of town at my sister's house, and I scoured her house for every bit of candy I could find. And I mean, I just binged my brains out that night. And that started a relapse cycle for me with the, you know, with the food. I continued to go to OA, and I kept trying to get back to that simple, you know, way of eating that I had worked in the beginning, and I kept coming. I kept coming for 30 years. And I would get periods of what I thought was abstinence, and then I would, you know, fall off, and I'd put more weight on, and before you know it, I got back up over 300 pounds again. I thought I was, and I started binging at that point, you know, almost every night, and I was in my middle 30s, and I thought for sure. The reason that I was doing that was because I was depressed. I had no clue that the reason I was depressed was because of the way I was eating. And I was just, pounding sugar every night. And I'd wake up in the morning and my body would be so full of inflammation that I could barely walk to the shower and get ready for work. And then I'd feel a little better by that night. And I'd go to my AA meeting or my OA meeting. And then on the way home, I'd stop off at a Walgreens, just like any, alcoholic drunk, and pick up my binge food for that night. And I'd use it to go to sleep. And the next morning, I would do the same thing all over again. It eventually got to the point where I was suicidal and I couldn't work. I took a sabbatical from work and I went to intensive outpatient treatment. And I still didn't make the connection that the main problem that I was experiencing was my eating disorder, my compulsive overeating. I still didn't make that connection. I just thought that it was part and parcel of this depression or whatever it was that had gotten a hold of me. And that, and so when I went to this outpatient treatment program, I went to all kinds of meetings, including OA. I started a food plan again. I got a sponsor. I was starting to report my food, all of that type of thing. But again, I was trying to eat like other people. I never really, thought about the fact that maybe I was bodily and mentally different, with what I could put into my body. And this continued to go on for years. Sometimes I get 4 years. Sometimes I would get, 2 weeks. But I was always struggling to try to get back it abstinent. And finally, about a year before, about a year and a half before COVID, I was gaining weight again, back over 300 pounds, and once again. And I was experiencing a lot of health issues. And I needed surgery. I have experienced some different, issues because of as a result of my obesity. And one of them was that I developed cancer and I had to have surgery. And after the surgery, because I was so heavy, I developed a hernia. And I wanted to get that repaired because it was causing me a lot of issues. And so I made an appointment with a surgeon, and then he canceled the appointment the day before my appointment, which I had waited, several weeks for. And it turned out that he wouldn't even see me. And he told me to go to a bariatric surgeon before he would talk to me. And I sat down with my sponsor, we talked about it. I actually thought maybe this is what I have to do because I've been struggling with this for so long. And so I actually investigated two programs and started preparing for surgery. I got a food plan as a result of that, and you have to follow this food plan in order to get the surgery. And I started following the food plan. And both, it was pretty much the same in both programs. But as a result of signing up for that, I got to go to, counseling. I got to see two dietitians, once a month. So twice a month, I would meet with a dietitian. I had my sponsor, and I was still going to OA meetings. It was a lot of human help. And as a result of that, I lost so much weight that I didn't qualify for the surgery any longer, right before the lockdown, right before COVID hit and the lockdown. And I thought, oh, I've arrived. I figured it out. I just didn't know how I was supposed to. I still wasn't into this idea of alcoholic foods, but I was in this idea of, there's certain food groups that I had to limit. And so, as soon as COVID hit and I lost all of that support, on a weekly basis, basically, it only took a few weeks, maybe 8, 9 weeks, before I got my thoughts started coming in, and I decided that maybe I could have a few things that were not that I wouldn't have normally had, comfort foods. And not very long into that, I started picking up again, binge foods. And then after I picked up the binge foods, then I became really alcoholic with fake foods, substitute foods. And before you know it, the weight just started piling on again. And I caught COVID, and I was really obese. I don't know exactly how obese I was, but I had gotten up to 360 pounds before I started that, I don't know, trek to try to get weight loss surgery. And I know that I had lost about 150 before COVID hit. And I think I must have put at least 100 of that back on, but I wasn't weighing myself. And it was, I caught COVID in January of 2022. And I was binging because I had started at Halloween. Maybe you guys remember the, if any of you remember your binging, it started at Halloween for me. And then there was Thanksgiving. And then there was Christmas. And then there was New Year's. And then there was my birthday. And then there was Valentine's Day. And right before Valentine's Day, I was quote unquote buying Valentine's Day candy to hand out to friends and family and eating it in my bed at night, bags of it. And I'm laying in my bed, unwrapping, one piece of candy after another, eating it mechanically, not being able to stop, and the phone rings. And a friend of mine who I hadn't talked to her for 10 years. She had moved across the country. She lived in the Washington, D.C. area. And I didn't know it was her. I didn't have her phone number any longer, but I saw the Washington, D.C. Area code, and it didn't look like a spam call. So I picked it up. And she was talking to me about something completely unrelated. And then she asked me how I was. And we used to carry an OA meeting together. And for whatever reason, I was truthful. Usually, I think I would have just said I was just fine. But instead, what came out of my mouth is I think I'm dying. And because I really felt like I was suffocating and like I couldn't breathe. And she said, "You've got to get on the phone and listen to these people. There's a big book study, and you have to listen to it. The people there have a real solution, a real answer." And she gave me the phone number. And it took me a little bit to figure out how to get into that meeting, Big Book Study. I started listening to that meeting. From the very first meeting, they had me. And within a week, I was abstinent from alcoholic food and ingredients. The people who reached out to me and talked to me educated me. Pretty quickly, I was desperate for an answer. This was something I hadn't heard before. They really covered, this idea of being in a distinct entity with the doctor's opinion. And I found a sponsor, and I went through the steps. And you could not have pulled me out of that off of that phone with a crowbar. I mean, it was like I had found home. I knew that type of recovery because I had found it in Alcoholics Anonymous. I hadn't found it in OA all those years, and things started changing. Again, I worked through the steps, pretty quickly. By the time I was probably, I don't know, 2.5, 3 months sober, I had gone through the nine step, through the first nine steps, and the last, I had started doing 10, 11, and 12s. 11 on a nightly basis, 10s almost on a daily basis, and 12 was mostly at that point, just trying to do service where I could, and trying to carry the message that had eluded me for so many years, for over 30 years, and a woman called and to talk to me, and she asked me if I would sponsor her. And I thought, I don't know if I can do that. And I called, I talked to my sponsor about it, and she suggested that I call somebody or text somebody in the program, that we kind of, think of as a big book expert. And I remember asking him, if I could, this is where I'm at in my program, can I sponsor? And or am I and he wrote back three words, you are ready. And so I started sponsoring right away. I did have, my background in AA to fall back on, but taking people through the big book, again, but this time through, with an emphasis, a focus on compulsive eating, I was able to really reinforce the message that is in that book in my mind, in my heart, and in my soul. It's just something that I don't think I could have ever had if I hadn't been able to give it away that quickly. And it's not something that I could have kept. And ever since then, I've worked my ass off to spread this, the message of the big book in Overeaters Anonymous. I haven't had to binge or partake of my alcoholic ingredients for, almost over 3 years now. And I can't imagine. I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's even difficult to believe. I mean, that my mind doesn't quite wrap around the idea that I am free, that I don't have to eat like I used to, that I don't have to have, a pint or 2 pints of ice cream to go to sleep at night, that I don't have to, eat the whole bowl of chips, when, I go out to eat with somebody at a Mexican restaurant, that I don't have to, eat these things that I don't even want them. I mean, it's such a miracle in my life that I can't, really wrap my head around it sometimes. Besides that, I have found, I don't know, a gratitude for my God that, I can't explain, but I can tell you that it is comforting. It is protective. It is guiding. It's inspirational, and it's powerful. It's given me a tremendous amount of strength to meet life on life's terms, and that spiritual awakening, that personality change, is deeper than anything that I've ever experienced in my life. But, it really was such a relief to find that I could have this kind of recovery, the same type of recovery that I had, received as a result, I mean, of working the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. I could have it in Overeaters Anonymous. What a gift. What an amazing gift. And I think the most important thing that I want to let you guys know is as a result of working through the steps and as a result of working with other compulsive overeaters, I have developed a, and it's not me. I don't know, I pray every day for it. I have a little prayer that I say, and maybe I can finish with that in just a minute. But I've been given the ability to love my fellows in this program. I love compulsive overeaters. I want to be of service to them. I don't know how to explain it, but you guys, you are a part of me. You belong to me. I love you. And if I can possibly be of service to you, it's what I want to do. I've been given this love, and it's not mine. It's something that flows through me, and I pray for it every day because it really gives my life purpose and meaning and a feeling of, I don't know how to explain it, just safety and protection. I don't know where I found the prayer. I've embellished it, but I'll just give you the simple form. It's God, I have given you all that I am and all that I will be. Please help me open myself up to your love, to allow your love to flow through me and from me to those around me. May the love that you feel for me become the love I feel for myself and towards others in my life. May I do thy will always. Please grace me with the love, the humility, and the power to be of service to you always. Amen. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.